This week, as President Bush travels through Africa, we're talking with people who have written and thought hard about that continent's problems and its prospects. Today, the Nigerian playwright and Nobel laureate Wole Soyinka. What's the one thing about Africa that he would like to impart to U.S. policymakers?
Basically, I would like to say truthful knowledge. Truthful and accurate knowledge. Because my experience has been that Americans, including their rulers, their leading people, policymakers, are very ignorant about Africa.
What is a common misunderstanding of the truthful nature of Africa?
First of all, there has been an error about what really constitutes the will, the mood of the people, especially in relation to their leaders. Many leaders are simply treacherous upstarts who happen to have grabbed power. And there's been a mistake among many American leaders that once a leader cozies up to the American government, he's thereby an accepted figure of responsibility and probity among the people. And this very often, I'm afraid, is just not the case. I mean, you only have to look at the long history of dictators on the African continent and how long they lasted, mostly because of the support which they received from the American government, and not just American government, from a number of European governments and national leaders. It's taken quite a while, for instance, for America to speak out clearly about Taylor, who's been indicted by the International War Crimes Tribunal. And that's many years after the fact.
You mentioned the situation of Charles Taylor. I wonder whether you,
yes,
as someone who protested against the curtailment of liberties in Nigeria for all those years, whether you find it a satisfactory resolution of the problem that Mr. Taylor should find some kind of retirement and refuge exile in Nigeria rather than go and stand trial for the human rights abuses he's been charged with.
Well, for me, it's, as a Nigerian, it's an embarrassment, the step which this government has taken in granting sanctuary and ultimately a kind of immunity to Charles Taylor is, for me, totally unacceptable. But a part of me also finds itself somewhat sympathetic to the notion that if something can be done, if we have to bite the bullet, so to speak, in order to save more lives in Liberia, mm-hmm, then maybe a solution like this is not a bad idea. But definitely, some way must be found to pay for his crimes.
Well, what are your feelings about the current trend, which is to seek out not just diplomatic or economic support from the United States, Britain, or France, but to encourage the dispatch of troops there, whether it's the U.S. to Liberia, or whether it's the French in Ivory Coast or the British in Sierra Leone, the notion that there is a vital role that either former colonial powers, or of course the relationship with Liberia is unique that Washington has, that those powers have an obligation to places where they once were colonial rulers.
Well, I don't agree with this notion of the first line of intervention going to the former colonial powers. Much of the mess which we experience today on the African continent has been the result of certain decisions executed by the colonial powers and which till today affect the fortunes of the various nations. But I think we've got to a stage where a kind of global cooperation should become the norm. In other words, I would rather see United Nations troops intervening in Liberia. We should make all these trouble spots the United Nations responsibility. That seems to me the only way to avoid any sense of recolonization, this kind of dependency syndrome.
Well, thinking back to the end of the Cold War, I remember you were very hopeful after the Berlin Wall came down that Africa might experience a kind of liberation from the kinds of politics that had dominated the continent until that time. Do you still feel that way? Do you still feel the same kind of hopefulness that you felt when the Berlin Wall came down and that perhaps there was a dawning of a new day for Africa?
Well, with the coming down of the Berlin Block, I was quite happy because I knew that Europe would now have problems of its own and would not have so much clientele relationship with countries in Africa. And therefore, Africa would be thrown back on itself. And leaders would be compelled to turn inward and look towards their own internal resources and see how they could maximize the potential of the people, liberalize also the politics of their own nations, seeing that the totalitarian regimes that they were using as examples had disappeared. So it was a kind of optimism of a challenge, not that I expected that there would be transformation overnight.
Well, it's been more than a decade since that time.
Yeah, I agree with you that optimism of a challenge has not been totally fulfilled, to put it mildly.
Mr. Shoyenka, thank you very much for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
The Nigerian playwright and writer Wole Soyinka spoke to us from Lagos, Nigeria. Tomorrow, a conversation with the South African writer Alistair Sparks about the state of his country almost post-apartheid.